Okay, Tov, and welcome back to our continuing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now beginning the third and final parak of Masachet Chagigah. And this parak picks up where the second parak left off with Ma'alot de Rabbanan, in other words, rabbinically enacted extra legal measures taken specifically in regard to Tahara, regarding Tahara with Kodshim. And our Mishnah, which is really three Mishnah put together, is going to list 11 or possibly 10 ma'alot, extra legal precautions that are taken, that are taken only in the case of Kodesh, as opposed to Truma and anything less than Truma. And here we see it. Chomer b'Kodesh b'Truma. Number one. Shemat bilin kelim b'toch kelim l'truma v'lo l'Kodesh. If you're purifying kelim for purposes of use with truma, you can put one kli inside another and put them in the mikveh that way, but not for kodesh. We will see a machloket between Rab Ila and Rava regarding the reason for this ma'ala and the practical difference between their approaches, and that will occupy all of our attention in the Gemara this morning. Number two, achorayim v'toch uveitat svita, meaning the back of a kli, the inside of a kli, the handle of a kli, are all separate pieces, bitruma avalo b'kodesh. That means if they are nitma, as a result of the contact with tuma that's durabanan, then only the section that each component that was nitma has to be purified, whereas for kodesh, if part of the kli was nitma, the whole kli is nitma and has to be fixed. Number three, anoseta midras noseta truma. If you are carrying in one hand something that is tumat midras, in the other hand you can carry truma, avalo ata kodesh, but you cannot do so with your carrying kodesh. That's because of a story that happened, and we'll deal with that tomorrow. Bigdei ochle truma midras la kodesh. This we had in the previous parak, and that is that people who are careful and eat truma with all of the appropriate care, nonetheless, their begadim are considered tumat midras for those who eat kodesh. Now, that's four. Lokin ha kodesh midata trumash, v'kodesh matir menagev matbil, v'chakach kosher. Apologize. That is, that so far was number, that was four. Now number five, kodesh matir menagev matbil, v'chakach kosher. How else is kodesh more enhanced? That when it comes to putting a garment in the mikveh that has some sort of tie with it, you have to untie it, you also have to make sure that it's totally dry, then put it in the mikveh, then take it out and then tie it. When it comes to something that you're purifying for purposes of truma, you can leave it tied in and dip it in. There the concern is one of chatzitza. The issue with the liquid is, take a look at Rashi. Rashi points out that that you have to dry it off because the concern is that it is also similar to a chatzitza because of the liquid that's on it. Again, an extra legal measure. The next one, akli mitzayv mashu b'tochal ha-kodesh avalo la-truma. And that is, sorry, kelim ha-nigmarim b'tahara tzachin tfilah la-kodesh avalo la-truma. Kelim that are completed, their processing is completed. This is number six, of course. That are completed b'tahara. Nonetheless, if you're going to use them for kodesh, need a new tefillah, and but that's not true if you're using it for truma. Hakli mitzarif mashu b'tochol hakodesh, number seven, avalo l'truma. If you have a few things inside of a kli, one of them is tamei, the kli joins them all together, so they're all tamei for purposes of kodesh, but not for truma. Harvi'i b'kodesh pasul, v'ashlishi b'truma. Is something we encountered at the beginning of Masachet Shabbat, which is that in the extended levels of tum'ah, beyond what the Torah commands, and we're going to see this on Tuesday, we'll see what the reasoning for this is. It goes as far as a revi'i, which means, let's say that something is an avatuma sheretz, and a sheretz touches some food. That food is now a rishon l'tuma. The food now touches a vessel. The vessel is a sheni l'tuma. The vessel now touches some food. That food is a shlishi l'tuma. If that food was chulin, it's meaningless. If that food was truma, then the food is pasul. If that food is kodesh, then it's not only pasul, it's tamei. So if it touches something else, that next thing is tamei also, is pasul also. Truma, mi'met yadacha mi'adav v'chavertat tohara. The next one is, when it comes to truma, one hand is tamei, the other one is okay. Kodesh matpil stand, but if you're doing it for kodesh, then you have to be matpil both hands. Shayan matamei chaver tov kodesh v'lo b'truma. The reason for that is, as we saw, that one hand is matamei the other for purposes of truma, but not for kodesh, but not for truma. Good. Number 10, ochlin ochlim neguvim yadayim esovot b'truma v'lo b'kodesh. If you have food that's totally dried off, so it's not mukshel l'tuma, you can eat it if your hands are not properly cleaned for truma, but not for kodesh. And the last one is ha'onein u'mechusar kippurim shechin tefillah l'kodesh v'lo l'truma. An onein is not the onein that we're familiar with. It's somebody who has not yet buried their dead. But an onein just means somebody on the first day of the death of a relative, and this person did not attend the funeral, or they were not nitma. Nonetheless, I mean, the oraita, they're not allowed to eat kodshim that day. And that's something that we infer from the story of Aharon and Nadab and Abihu, of Achalti Chatat HaYom HaYitav Menei Hashem. So the next day, when the Onein is now allowed to eat kodshim, he has to go to the mikvah first. Mechusa Kippurim is a Zav, a Zava, a Metzora, and a Yoledet. Those four, when they finish their period of either a week, in the case of a Zav and a Zava or a Metzora, or they finish their 40 or 80 days, in the case of a Yoledet, they go to the mikvah on the last day. They have Hair of Shemesh that night. They can then eat Truma and their Tahor, but the next day they bring a Korban. In the case of a Yoledet, it's the nest, etc. Each one is bringing a different Korban. And after they bring the Korban, then they can participate in Kodshim. So, Tzuchin Tzvilah LaKodesh V'lo Truma. And besides that, they have to go to the mikvah again before they can eat Kodshim. But that's not for Truma. Good. Now let's take a look at these. And as I mentioned, it's only the first item on the list, although we will refer back to the fifth item on the list, that will occupy our attention today. Kodesh my tamalo. Why can you not be matbil kli b'toch kli for purposes of Kodesh? I'm Rabbi Ila. Approach number one. Neshek v'doshel kli chotzeitz. The uppermost kli is going to weigh down, create a chatzitza between the water and the lower kli. How can that be? V'hamin is safe mishum chatzitza. After all, number five is clearly because of chatzitza, the one about tying and untying. Reshala mishum chatzitza. So clearly the first one is not because of chatzitza. There's not going to be two different ma'alot about chatzitza, besides which they won't be separated by three other items. Tani seifa lokin ad hakodesh v'lav truma shum kodesh matzir mangiv matpil v'chakach koshev v'truma koshev v'chakach matpil. And item number five, it said that Kodesh and Truma are different, and that Kodesh, you have to untie it and dry it off and dip and put it in the mikvah, and Truma, you can leave it tied and put it in. So the answer is, Reshav Asef, this is Rabbi Ilo, Reshav Asef Mishum Chatzitza, they're both because of Chatzitza. The Gemara will not answer why they are not taught in one unit, although a look at the Mishnah will give us a clue as to why. Because the opening part of the Mishnah introduces one title, Chomer B'Kodesh B'Truma, and lists four things. After those four things, we then have another title, Lo Kmidat HaKodesh Midat HaTruma, which is another formulation, and evidently we had two disparate Mishnayot that were then joined together. And as a result of that, the first one led off with an issue of Rabbi Ila about Chatzitza, and the second one also led up with an issue of Chatzitza. So the long question now is, why are there two different perspectives, or two different individual ma'alot, both about Chatzitza? So let's see. We need them both. Why? If all I had was the first one about kli b'toch kli, I would have come to the following errant conclusion. The reason it doesn't work for kodesh, mishum kvedosh kli de'ika, because the top kli is weighing down on the lower one. But in the second case, where it's a question of tying the garment, there's no weight that's happening. I might think it's not a chatzitza even for kodesh. And if all I had was the second case of tying, the reason I would have concluded that the knot is no good is because a knot in water gets tighter. But in a case of kli b'toch kli, the water lifts up the kli. I would have thought it's not a chatzitza. Therefore, tzricha. So therefore, according to Rabbi Ila, I need both an expression of extra legal measures to avoid the possibility of a chatzitza in the case of a kli b'toch kli and also a case of tying, because each one has a unique characteristic not shared by the other. Good, and now Rabbi Ila l'tameh. Rabbi Ila is consistent with a broader statement he makes. The Amar Rabbi Ila, Amar Rabbi Chanin bar Papa, Eser malot shanukan. He says, our Mishnah, even though if you look on the page, you'll see 11 items. He says there's 10 ma'alot here. Clearly 10 ma'alot, because numbers 1 and 5 are really the same. Now, there's another point to this, which is Chamesh Rishonot, the first five, which are Kli B'toch Kli, and also the tying. They are also the separation of components with that we do not apply for Tuma for Kodesh. There's also carrying the midras and being able to carry Kodesh at the same time as you don't allow. Also Big Day Ochli Tum, etc. And the tying. And also the Kli drawing things together. Those five, so 1, 2, 3, 4, and then another one, and then number five, which is on our list, is number six. He says, Bein l'kodesh, bein l'chulin, shana sorat tarat ha-kodesh. These apply to regular kodesh, real kodesh, at the chulin that are not being done al tarat ha-kodesh. We studied about in the last parak. Achronot, the last five, l'kodesh, v'alo l'chulin, shana sorat tarat ha-kodesh. The last five are only for real kodeshim. My time and why make the distinction. Chamesh kamay t'nidlu drar d'tum adoraita. The first five are situations that really could lead to the legitimate tuma. And therefore, Gazar Rabbanon, l'kodesh, bein l'chulin, shana sorat tarat ha-kodesh. The Rabbanon extended it to Kodesh, and to, if you will, want to be Kodesh. But the last five, the Leidlo who draw the Tumah, Doraita, there's no way that it could connect to real legitimate Tumah. It's simply an extra legal measure to demonstrate the concern and care that we have for Kodesh. They didn't extend it to Chulin, Shinasu Altarat HaKodesh. That is Rabbi Ila. Now, Rava. Rava Amar, Min Seifa Mishum Chatzitza, he starts with the reasoning that we used to attack Rabbi Ila, and he adopts it, which is since the fifth case is of Chatzitza, Reisha La Mishum Chatzitza, the first case cannot be Chatzitza, it's got to be another reason. For Reisha, I knew time, but what's the reason for the Reisha? So let me introduce it with the following bit of information. If you have a bunch of very, very small items, like needles, let's say you're a tailor, and you regularly do work on all sorts of people's clothes, which means that your needles become tamei as a result of contact with midras, etc. And now you've been commissioned to fix begadim for the bigdekun or whatever. So you have to matbil your needles. How you matbil needles? You can't take them in your hand and stick them in the water. You'll drop them. So what do? You put them in a container. But let's say you put them in a container with a very, very narrow spout. Let's say like a Coke bottle, and you put them in the water. What you are effectively doing is you're putting them into a Coke bottle which is inside the water. And then we have to question, is there an open enough flow from the mikveh water into what's inside the Coke bottle that we could consider your needles to be inside the mikveh as opposed to inside the Coke bottle? And that depends on the measure of flow needed to connect two mikvahot. Let's say you have two mikvahot next to each other. Each one is 30 sa'. So neither one alone is enough. If you could connect them, they'd be enough. And you run a pipe between them to connect them. How wide does the pipe have to be to make them so they should be considered one mikvah? And we'll see as follows. Reisha Hainu Taim, what's the reason for the problem of putting kelim b'toch kelim? Gzeira shelo yapil mechatin b'tzinarot b'chli she'en v'fiv k'shufer tanot. The concern is, it's a precaution against you being matbil kelim inside a kli that has a very tiny mouth, not as wide as the spout of a wine flask. Kidit non, we have a Mishnah mikvot, a real mikvot kishfafer tanod. The width of the pipe that comes to connect two mikvot, mix them together as it were, has to be the size of a spout of a wine flask. Ki ovya vicha chalala, meaning that the width, including the space in between, not the outside width, but the inside width, b'shtei etzpon chozot l'mikoman, has to be two fingers width that can go back and forth. So now, Rava therefore says, therefore, if I have since flow from and to a mikvah, it has to have at least that wide of a mouth. If I put, let's say my little needles inside of a kli that has a mouth that is not that wide, then I'm not putting them in a mikvah, then I'm putting them inside of a kli that happens to be inside of a mikvah. It's like putting it in a biosphere. It's a totally independent unit, and it's not tahor. Therefore, he says, we have an extra legal concern regarding kodshim, and we say, gabi kodshim, we don't allow you to put kli b'toch kli, because you might put in a kli, which has a very narrow mouth. Now, Savala kara Rav Nachman Amar Rav Avuah, he holds like Rav Nachman, who says, Achad etzrei ma'alot shanukan. Our Mishnah is not 10, but 11 ma'alot. And now it fits perfectly. Shesh Rishonot Ben HaKodesh Ben HaKodesh Ben HaKodesh Ben HaKodesh Achonot HaKodesh V'Alochon Shonot HaKodesh. Just as we had before, but now instead of it being 5 and 5, it's the first 6 apply to Kodesh and to Chulin Shenasu Al Tarat HaKodesh, and the last 5 only to regular Kodesh, and the Gemara doesn't have to repeat the reason. Same reason. The first 6 are all things that really could touch upon legitimate Tumah. The last 5 aren't. Now, Ma'ika Ben Durava the Rabbi Ilo. What's the practical difference between the two approaches? The answer is, Ikaminayu Sal the Gargutni Shemil An Kelim Mit Bilad. The difference is if you take a basket and fill it with Kelim. Lamanda, the basket doesn't have a mouth at all. Lamanda Amar Mishum Chatzitza. According to Rabbi Ilo, says the concern is Chatzitza Ika. That's no different if you put put them in a kli with a mouth, without a mouth, doesn't matter. The concern is one kli sitting on top of the other and blocking it. But according to Rava, there is no such thing as a basket that has a tiny spout. Baskets don't have spouts at all. So therefore, according to Rava, there'd be no problem putting other vessels inside a basket and being matpil the whole thing. Because it's not because of chatzitza, it's because of a spout. And there's no spout here to be worried about. The Ozder Rav the Tameh, and everything fits perfectly because Rav is being consistent. He said, if you take a basket and you fill it with kelim and put them in, they're all tahor. Perfect. And of course, Rabbi Ilu would have to disagree. Mikvah, or he would have to say, that's only true for truma. A separate item, he says, is that if you have a mikvah, and it's, let's say, exactly 40 sa, and you put a basket right in the middle, so there's two places. Then, it's not a good tefillah. Why? The ground is all connected, but we have a requirement that the 40 sa have to be in one place, and this thing provides some sort of a partition. Again, that's not our concern. Our main concern is the first item that he says, which is that if you put things in a basket and are not peel them, the tefillah is good, because, again, there's no concern about a spout. Now, parenthetically, back to our original problem with the Coke bottle, v'hani mili b'chli tahor. The only real problem that exists if you put a bunch of needles into a bottle that has a tiny spout is if the bottle itself is tahor, which means it's only serving as a receptacle or as a holder. However, b'chli tamei, but let's say the Coke bottle itself was tamei. You put a Coke bottle into the mikvah, the fact that it has a tiny spout isn't a problem. It's still tahor. Migo to salka tefila chule gufa demana, since the tefila counts for the entire Coke bottle, sakalamanu lachem dipe, it also works for the kelim inside. And what's the difference? The difference is as follows. If I put a bunch of tamei needles inside of a tahor Coke bottle, and I put the whole thing in the mikvah, what am I doing? I'm simply putting a bunch of needles that are inside a Coke bottle, and right now they happen to be sitting inside a mikvah, but the needles aren't inside a mikvah. But if, on the other hand, the Coke bottle's tamei, then basically what I'm doing is I'm being matire the Coke bottle and everything that's in it. Okay, good. Now, what's our proof? Didnan, we have a bizarre Mishnah in Mikvaot, and once we fix it, we'll see it all falls into place. Kelim shemilan kelim beit bilan. If you have kelim, you filled with kelim and you matpil them. Hare elu tahorim. It works. Vim lo taval, that's the strange phrase, but if you weren't matpil, if you have mixed waters, there has to be kishfaferet anod between them. What does that mean? What does that mean? If you don't have to matbil it, meaning the outside kli is tahor, then you need to have enough flow, kishfaferet anod, going between them. So if tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we will pick up, or in the next podcast, we will pick up with a further analysis of the machloket in Rava and Rav Yila. And then we will begin to look through the other ma'alot and go through approximately the next 4 or 5 ma'alot. Everyone should have a wonderful day.